Thanks, Becky. Do keep that open, page 1213. And my name's Pete Matthew, should have said that, minister here. And it's great to gather. We've got a lot of people away for half term, which includes Andy Fels. So apologies if you were looking for a service sheet. We're not producing as many because it's on the screen, but we haven't got any today because I hadn't really clocked that Andy wasn't here. And he had emailed to say, could someone print this off? So our normal plan is to have 10 or so copies at the back if you'd like one of the sheets with the words on the stuff, but we don't have them today, so apologies for that. But 1213, we're starting, as Paul said, a new series looking at this book of James. It's an amazing letter with much to tell us. But let's ask for God's help as we start now. Let's pray. Father, your word is to help build us up, to encourage us, to help us to live a life that pleases you, to know about salvation. But there are times when your word says things that to us sound a bit shocking when we first read them. And I think this is one of those passages. Help us to understand what you're saying, and help us to change our hearts and our minds and our thinking to fit in with what you say, rather than trying to get you to fit in with what we think. Help us to be humble. Amen. My prayer slightly gives it away, but verse 2. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. That's an extraordinary statement. Ooh. We almost heard it read out from Caroline there. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. It sounds bonkers, doesn't it? How can the Bible say something as crazy sounding as that? Many of us here are facing trials. And note it says trials of many kinds. It's deliberately broad. You can't say, well, mine don't fit. It's many kinds of trials. Some of us have concerns about our children. Some of us have the burden of not having children, and we'd love them. Some of us have work struggles. Some of us feel isolated. Some of us are single parents. Some of us have struggles in our marriage. Some of us would love to be married. Some of us are facing major illnesses. Some of us don't know what our future holds and exactly where we're going to live in a few weeks' time. And some of us are mourning loved ones. All of us face trials, tough times, hard moments. All of us suffer in different ways. And actually, verse 2 doesn't say if we face trials, it says whenever. So at least at that point, it's realistic about the nature of life. But if it's realistic about the nature of trials, how can we consider them pure joy? We know God is a God of love and mercy and salvation. The Bible makes that very clear. We know the Bible is God's word to us. So I think we need to reflect on what God is saying to understand why considering trials of pure joy isn't an oxymoron. This letter of James is about walking the walk, not just talking the talk. It's a letter full of imperatives. I think there are 50 in this quite short letter. Exhorting the readers to action. It's a call to live out their faith, to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, as verse 22 in chapter 1 says. But if you look at verse 1, it's a letter written by James. This is Jesus' brother, half-brother. He's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably written in the mid-40s AD, we think. And James was the leader, the bishop, if you like, of the church in Jerusalem. You can read a lot about him in the book of Acts. He wasn't one of Jesus' apostles in the Gospels. He wasn't one of the 12. It was only after the resurrection, when he met the risen Jesus, that he realized that his big brother was God come to earth as a man to be his saviour. Which I guess was quite an odd feeling for him, thinking about his big brother. But he doesn't recognise his most important thing is that Jesus is his God and his saviour. This is the guy he wrote his letter. And he wrote it to, as he describes them there, the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now that's using Old Testament language, a description of the Jews who were exiled from Israel after the Assyrians and the Babylonians kicked them out. The 12 tribes scattered. And James uses this phrase to describe Christians who were scattered from Jerusalem after the persecution in the first few years of the church. which God actually used to mean that the gospel spread from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. There was a great persecution that happened against Christians. And that's who James was writing to. And God has preserved this letter for us. We're actually really part of these 12 tribes, God's family, God's people. We're scattered among the nations. We're waiting to return home to be, as we've heard over recent weeks, God's people living in God's place under God's rule and blessing. But whilst we wait to be gathered, we know our life will be marked by trials of many kinds. So back to our original shock, really. How can we consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds? Well, firstly, verses 2 to 4. Joy because trials produce perseverance. Joy because trials produce perseverance. Really, really important. Look at the logic of verses 2 and 3, and particularly the first word of verse 3. You consider it pure joy, when you face trials because... You don't take joy in the trials. You take joy in something that the trials produce. You consider it pure joy because, as your faith is tested through trials of many kinds, it produces perseverance. And look at verse 4. As we let perseverance finish its work, we'll be mature and complete. That's a mature and complete faith. That's someone who reflects the Lord Jesus Christ in what they do and what they think. That's someone who is godly and wise. And that's something to be joyful about. The product, the result. But this doesn't happen automatically. The exhortation in verse 2 is to consider. We need to think about it. It's not an instruction to pretend everything is all sweetness and light, to make out nothing is wrong, like a delusional optimism. It's not for us to put our happy faces on and make out it's all fine. Not at all. Trials, and many of you know this better than me, trials are tough. Suffering is hard. Don't be delusional and pretend there's nothing wrong. It's wrong to say, I think, everything's splendid. It's all fine. When you're facing trials of many kinds. No, the exhortation to consider it pure joy, it tells us to think about trials in the right way. We're not to despair and think there's no hope. And we're not to be delusional and pretend everything's going swimmingly. No, we're to think, consider why our trials can be described as pure joy. And it's worth this as a pause. Joy isn't the same as happiness. Happiness is a temporary, often fleeting emotion. Joy in the biblical sense, I think, is much more grounded. It's a settled conviction about who God is and who we are and how we can be in his family. It's an identity. You've got joy because you belong to God. And with that identity, you can face trials of many kind. So we need to remind ourselves, and we need each other to help each other, to consider why facing trials can produce perseverance. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. As it's exercised, it becomes stronger and fitter and healthier. Doing exercise well is hard work. I tend to avoid it, as you can tell. But when you do it, your muscles will ache. If you go to the gym, you know, Greg's there most of the time, you know, feel the burn! It's a slightly weird motivational statement you hear when you go to the gym. Don't put your effort in at the gym, you feel the burn! You do that because as you endure the pain at the gym, you know it's making you healthier and fitter and stronger. Chris Froome, I love cycling on the Grand Tours. Chris Froome has just won, I'm assuming he's just won it, the Giro d'Italia. The last stage is today, but it's processional, so he won it yesterday. And one of the three Grand Tours, and he won the last two as well, so he's the only third man in history to have won all three Grand Tours in the same 12 months. And he won Friday's stage, this is a bit geeky, the stage, in the most remarkable example of individual brilliance seen in modern cycling. He destroyed, he annihilated the field, the world-class field, he annihilated it. And that ability was based on years and years of dedication, hard work, pain, suffering, so he could achieve his goal. He completed the course. He didn't lack anything. And the joy on his face when he crossed the line at the top of the mountain showed that the pain was worth it. He exercised. He went through masses of pain and suffering. And it ended up, the result was joy as he won. He completed the course. So with our faith. As we face trials, our faith is tested. And as we keep going, as we hold on to our faith in the tough times, we persevere. Our faith is being exercised. If life is easy, we perhaps doesn't need much effort to have faith. But when life is hard, you're having to work the muscle of faith. And if we keep going, we will claim the prize of being mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's why we can consider it pure joy. But that doesn't mean it's easy. Our faith is tested in trials. Recently, many of you have been asking questions like, where is God in this suffering? Why has God allowed this to happen? Where are you, God, when whatever the other thing was happened? I don't need to be specific. We can just look around church. And we know the details of people in our family who are suffering, the severe trials that people are facing right now, today. The Bible is full of people calling out to God, why? Why, God? Many of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Someone famously said that when they were 20, they were surprised there were so many Psalms of lament in the Bible. And by the time they were 30, they were surprised there weren't more, as they carried on in life and realised that there are many trials, suffering trials. They're a major part of life, and they test our faith. And at those times, it is right to cry out, God, why? And those times are when we need to consider why these things are happening. What is happening? We need to think about who God is. We need to remind ourselves, we need to help each other remind ourselves the truth of the gospel, the good news of Christ. We need to focus on what God has done for us in the past through Christ and the identity that he's given us now and what he's promised us for the future. And as we consider those things, whilst we go through the trials of many kinds, we can have joy. God uses these times to make our faith stronger, to make us mature, to make us complete, to ensure we persevere. Persevere is to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep having joy in the truth of the gospel. Elsewhere in the Bible, and Paul particularly uses the image of refiner's fire. You know the idea, you could take a lump of metal and you lob it in a crucible and you heat it to incredibly high temperature, and as the metal melts, impurities float to the top and you can skim them off, and then when the metal cools, you're left with pure metal, whatever it is, silver, gold, whatever. That's an image of how God uses trials for us. The trials for us are like the heat that's applied to that metal. We're under pressure. We're feeling the heat. And as we keep trusting God, as we keep the faith in those tough times, we'll come out more like Christ, more mature in our faith, stronger in our faith. We've persevered. And if we persevere to the end, we'll be presented mature and complete, is the language there in verse 4. We'll take our place as one of God's people, living in God's place, under God's rule and blessing, and ruled by his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tough times are still tough. The trials are still trials. The heat and the pressure are real. We feel overwhelmed. We feel like giving up. We feel it's too much. We know that God has promised he won't test us more than we can cope. But so often it doesn't feel like that. God, do you not realise what I'm like? How do I cope with this? How can God think we have the capacity to keep the faith after all we've been through? In those times of despair, we need to ask God to keep our faith strong. If you look down from verse 5, we ask God to give us the wisdom to persevere. Verses 5 to 8, ask God to give you wisdom to persevere. If you look at the end of verse 4, the result of perseverance through trials is not lacking anything. And then James links that, using the word lack, to the start of verse 5. If we do lack one thing, wisdom, then we should ask God, who gives generously, without finding fault. Wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong. Wisdom is understanding what is happening. Wisdom is knowing God, trusting God, believing God. Wisdom is asking God to help you persevere, to find joy in times of trials. I get a definition of wisdom in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It should come up here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fearing the Lord is to respect him, to honour him, and it's to know him. That's what wisdom comes from. But during trials and tough times, when we're suffering, when we're at our lowest ebb, that's the time when we feel we don't know what to do. We lack wisdom. We feel lost and confused, all at sea. So the simple yet profound instruction here in verse 5 is to come to God and ask him for it. God, it doesn't expect us to man up and deal with the tough times on our own. Like, pull your socks up, you can do it. He doesn't expect us to be able to endure trials on our own. He's there for us. As our much-loved Sam Albury, our chair of trustees, put it in his brilliant commentary on James. And if you haven't got it, do buy it. It is fantastic about James. To come up here, this is a quote about this from Sam in his commentary. Trials in the Christian life are not times when we're supposed to know exactly what to do, when all our training is supposed to kick in. James assumes both that we will need wisdom and yet we lack wisdom. That's why he counsels us to ask God for it. And then look down there in verse 5, see the character of God. God gives generously. God is our Father and he loves to give to his children. Jesus said, Matthew 7, If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God gives generously. God isn't stingy. He doesn't just give us the bare minimum. And God gives generously to all. He doesn't pick and choose who his favourite is. There's not a qualification. You're in the A team, you're in the B team, the A team. No, he gives to all. You don't get different levels of loyalty cards with God. Several years ago, it's quite a long time now, I used to have a BA exec club card. It's this only silver one, but it meant that I could check in at business class desks and use the lounges in different airports. And once Nikki and I were at LA airport, and we had 7-hour wait to wait for my mother-in-law, who was getting the same flight back from LA as us. There was a silver club card lounge, so, you know, flash the card, I'm in, I belong. It was awful. It was like the worst doctor's waiting room you can imagine. You know, high wingback chairs, you couldn't lounge, you couldn't relax, it was terrible. Just down the corridor was the BA Gold Club Lounge. And you could see into it. They had nice sofas and nice food and nice drinks. We had rubbery, horrible sandwiches and dried out fruit kind of stuff. We couldn't get in there. BA wasn't generous enough to allow us in. Not like God. God gives generously to all who ask him. And God gives without finding fault. He doesn't judge our past performance. He doesn't say, well, it's your fault you're in that position. He gives generously to all without finding fault. So during trials, when you're enduring trials, we can be confident to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to understand who he is. Wisdom to understand who we are. And wisdom to understand how we can persevere and have joy during great trials of many kinds. Verse 5 is incredibly encouraging. So in contrast, verse 6 feels like quite a shock when you're reading through. Look at verse 6. Which Christian has never had any doubts? Have you ever doubted your faith? I know that I have at times. Verse 6, we must believe and not doubt. Verse 7, that person, that's the one who doubts, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So are we all disqualified because we all had doubts? This God who gives generously, well, actually, we've had doubts now for you. Yeah, you're not in. Is that what that means? Well, not at all, unsurprisingly. And the context of verses 5 to 8 help us see what James means by doubt. James is talking about someone who has split loyalties. They look to multiple sources for ultimate wisdom. They're hedging their bets. Yes, they're asking God, but they're also looking elsewhere for wisdom and understanding. They're people who are looking around for the best offer. Yes, we'll listen to God, but who else can offer us some understanding and wisdom to help us get through these trials? They're doubting that God has the right and best option. Yeah, we'll consider it, but we'll weigh that up with other wisdom sources, the world or wherever it is. James describes that person as like a wave on the sea. They're blown this way and that, you know, constantly changing. That's why people buy homes with a sea view. I grew up in Cornwall. If you had a sea view, your house was worth more, because people love looking out to sea because the view is constantly changing. It's never stable. The sea is always moving, fluctuating one way or the other. That's this kind of person. This person, verse 8, is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So when seeking wisdom to persevere, don't shop around for the best option. Ask God. Seek it from him, the Almighty Creator God, who gives generously. Trust him. Don't doubt. Believe. The world's wisdom for dealing with trials is despair, normally. God's wisdom is to consider it pure joy, because it produces perseverance. Now, it's true that during trials, those of you facing now will know this, we don't always feel we know God's wisdom. Several of us are struggling to understand why God has allowed certain things to happen. You feel lost and confused. You've asked God for wisdom, it doesn't feel like he's answered. But in the very fact of persevering in our faith, the very act of enduring trials and still believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, the very fact we're considering how a trial can be pure joy actually means that God has answered our prayer. He has given to us generously. We may not feel it, we may not be confident, but God will protect us from folly. God will keep us from being double-minded. God will keep us secure. God will enable us to persevere so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let's have a time of quiet, and then I'll pray. Father, you know what each of us are going through. Some of us here are facing severe trials. Father, help them and all of us to keep considering it pure joy because of our faith being maintained, persevered. Help us to seek wisdom from you. Help us know that testing of our faith produces perseverance, and that we will be presented mature and complete, not lacking anything, on the last day, when we're united with Christ, we will be living with you in that place with no mourning, no crying. The old order of things will have passed away. Help us to keep focused on our service and love for you in whatever trials that we face. And those of us that aren't facing trials at the moment, help us to encourage, support, love those who are going through difficult times, that they would feel your love through the act of your family caring for family members. And for each of us, Lord, help us to look to you, the source of wisdom and goodness and life and salvation for all things. Amen. If anything we've talked about, and there are many of us here who are facing trials, don't rush off. Don't ignore it. Do stick around afterwards. Pray together. Talk to someone. We're a family. Let's help love and support and encourage each other as we go through trials of many kinds, so that we can focus and look to Christ for our support and our love. Paul.